Yes, and g'day everyone. Welcome to the Tripod Live Show with Clarkey and Winnie. We are going to be with you for the next hour to preview all of Round 6 NRL, give you some of our best bets. We're going to get some exclusive market insight from Top Sport. We've got mixed matchups and more. Before we get to that, let me welcome in my co-host, Winnie. How are you going, mate?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Hopefully you are too. I want to wish you a happy birthday on behalf of me and all the Tripod family and everyone who's tuning in with us Wednesday night. I offered you the night off, but you said you wouldn't want to be anywhere else but here live chatting NRL. So have you had a good day so far, mate?
I have, mate. We are truly blessed to be able to, you know, log on to something like this, have our live viewers here chat with us throughout the process and talk about footy because we both love it. We both love it so much. And one thing the fans of this show definitely love is the best bets. That's what most people are here for. That's what they love.
If you're ready, should we jump straight into it? Before you roll into this week's, just super fast recap and send the love to Clarkey through, as we can already see. 2-0 best bets. Last week was the first week we didn't have a losing best bet. So they both won, and that helped us win the mixed matchup as well. Dramatic fashions came down to the last game, last play just about. We lost the same game multi. It was close. Lost take on Toppy. And now, Clarkey, I've got three best bets in the chamber ready to fire if you want to intro that.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. So welcome to our round six best bets. They are presented by Lana Tradie Software. Lana helps tradies to ensure they win more jobs and never lose a lead again. If you're a tradie or any business owner looking for that edge, then Lana is your best bet. Now, wait, guys, we've got a little bit more for you this week. Now, we know if you use our code TPLIVE, you get 10% off. However, if you book in a demo with Lana this week, at any time, you can win a free NRL jersey. There's no obligations to that, guys. This is an absolutely free demonstration where a member of their staff will take you through the software and show it to you for yourself so you can make that assessment. And the best part, of course, you immediately enter the draw for a free NRL jersey. That is bloody awesome. Winnie, the best bets are going to be bloody awesome. Let's jump into them.
Hope so. We can keep this little winning streak going. I've got three, including the opening game on Good Friday. We're taking the Rabbitohs -9.5 against the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs are just battered and bruised in a short turnaround, missing a lot of troops. Totola is a big in for the Rabbitohs, who will be very disappointed about the way they finished or performed overall last week. But I think this is where we get them in a good bounce back spot. I'd be really shocked if they didn't win, so I'm willing to lay that line. Then I'm going to take North Queensland, another team that's very disappointed with their result last week and needs to show a bit of urgency. Now, I'm taking the second half line, -5.5 at $1.85. This was a gold mine last year. Their fitness was superior and they ran over teams. And it hasn't been the same story this year, but I think they will get a strong showing, whether they're up or whether they've got a chase in this one against the Dolphins. They've got issues and they're down to about their fourth halves combination in six rounds. Then I'm going Manly, +11.5 at $1.80 on Dabble. And I think Manly can actually compete with Penrith. You've got to remember, Liam Martin is still out. Fisher Harris still out. I know they looked great last week, but I thought Raiders kind of folded. And with Schuster back in for Manly, they're close to full strength. I see that as a really competitive game. I like being able to catch double digits. What do you think of those, Clarkey? 2 cents less on better as well if you don't have Dabble. If you do have Dabble, guys, you can copy at Jacob Wynn right now. I'll place that bet.
Perfect. You know, I think for the Rabbitohs game, we'll get into it a little bit later, but it is Latrell Mitchell's 150th. I think that can be a big motivating factor for him to turn it around. I've got a very cool stat with Scott Drinkwater for the Cowboys game that you will love, given that's your best bet. And I think Manly are an interesting side because, you know, they're probably a little bit disappointed, as I touched on in the recap show, with their past 3 weeks. But realistically, they have not played a bad game this season. To get them with the 11.5-point head start, seems pretty good value right there. But we jump into it. Thursday
can
night.
Can I go off script? Sorry, mate, as well. As love is coming through. Because Kristen didn't join us on our recap to tell us how the bookies went in round five, I'm going to play his video now. So we'll hear how they went, and then that'll lead into where the action has been for round six. Let's have a listen.
G'day, everyone. Tristan here from Top Sport. And what a week we've got coming up. Firstly, though, before I get into it, happy birthday to Clarkey. Hope you have a great day, mate. Very happy to have you on the show. You obviously add some extra wisdom and always great to hear your thoughts. I hope you've had a great day, mate, and hopefully you know, you get through tonight all right and have a couple of beverages. Now, just going back to the round just gone, I didn't get my information through last weekend. So just to give everyone a quick update on the round that was gone, the Panthers against the Raiders, the Panthers minus is very, very well backed. And I thought Canberra were right in the game at halftime, or right in terms of covering the line at halftime, and obviously wasn't to be. One of the big results from our end was the Sharks against the Warriors. The Warriors knocked out a lot of multis. They looked dead and buried when they were down 18-0. So from our end, we're very happy when they came home hard. And then the Bulldogs, they were an ordinary result, and obviously that late try ensured the mixed matchup saluted as well. So all in all, about an even weekend on the round five results. We've got some really important games coming up this weekend. I can't wait for the Melbourne against the Roosters game to start off the round. That should be an absolute beauty. I think the Panthers-Manly game is going to give us an indication of where both of these two teams sit. Penrith obviously bounced back last weekend, and Manly, they looked the goods until they had that player Sinbin. So they've been looking pretty impressive there for the first start of the season. So the line is quite sizable on that match. And then obviously a little bit of bias here, but a massive game for Titans and Dragons fans. The winner of this game will be in the top eight at the end of the round. So hugely important game if either those two sides are to play finals footy. One other thing we've got to touch on this weekend is we've got the Masters. We've got a stack of different markets up. We've got all the normal outright markets. Got a heap of different exotics. Have a look through the Top Sport website. It's one of my favourite sporting events of the year. Rory McIlroy and Scotty Scheffler, the equal favourites, up there at $8.50. Jason Day at $26. Cam Smith at $29. A lot of these players haven't played together for a long time with the LIV tournament going on. So looking forward to it teeing off tomorrow night. If you're having a punt, do so responsibly. Hope you have a little bit of luck. And once again, happy birthday, mate.
Thank you very much for the kind birthday love there. And I can see it rolling through the chat too, which is awesome. Thank you so much.
You know anything about the Masters? If you do, you can share it. Otherwise, tell us what you do know about the Thursday night opener.
Yeah, I heard Cam Smith was in the Masters there. Interesting one. I thought he'd be pretty busy with his Channel 9 commitments. But no, we go to Thursday night, guys. Zing. The Melbourne Storm, they are hosting the Sydney Roosters at Amy Park. The line is set at... As Winnie brings
it's
it up.
It's either 1.5 or 2.5. Sorry, I'm scrambling with that graphic. Storm, a slight favourite. 2.5 on Top Sport.
2.5. The Melbourne Storm are your favourites. Jerome Hughes and Tarek Sims return for them. I think that would have influenced that a fair bit. And for the Roosters, I know this influenced it. James Tedesco is out. So Joseph Manu returns from suspension. He moves to fullback. And Terrell May is on the bench for Nafua White. Market seems that this one will be a close one. Winnie, are you seeing it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. What a beauty we get to kick off round six. You know, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago when the Rabbitohs played the Roosters, there's no doubt that's the best rivalry in the game. But then I was thinking, what else comes close? What are the other best rivalries? And I couldn't come up with too many, but one that did come to mind, I have to put the Roosters Storm right up there. And maybe that's recency bias because these are the best two teams of the 2010s. And really, they haven't dropped off that much in the 2020s, although Penrith has overtaken them. And they both get back a superstar from the Kiwis to add to their spine. Although, of course, as you said, the Roosters lose a superstar Australian captain. But what a luxury you have to replace him with a guy like Joey Manu. The reason I do think this is a bloody close game, because I do think the Roosters are the better team. The edge being probably the forward pack and also more explosive outside backs. However, the Storm are at home. And I think this is their first game this season with Hughes, Munster and Grant probably since the season opener, where Munster was injured 20 minutes into that. So when you add all that in together, it makes it pretty even. And I would have a lean to the Roosters catching the points. But I also remember the Roosters beating Melbourne in Melbourne last year, which really flipped Melbourne's season. They went well in the top four, but then that loss sent them on their demise, where then they lost the next week to Parra, I believe, and then the next week to the Raiders in an elimination game. So I think they'll be absolutely fired up to not let the Roosters beat them in their home ground again. And of course, they don't want to let their boy Brandon Smith get the bragging rights, but both sides will be bang up for it. A slight lean to the Roosters because I think their props are going about as well as any tandem of props probably outside of Brisbane in the competition. And although the Storm have the halves that can win this and maybe one moment of brilliance does decide it, I feel like when you've got Radley Ball playing off the back of that Roosters pack and Manu at the back of him, it gives Roosters probably equal amount of ball playing. So I don't have a bet, but I just can't wait to watch this one. How do you see it?
I agree. It's definitely a formidable forward pack there for the Roosters. I mean, you think Brandon Smith's going to be at his best and Collins and Warrior Hargraves are in some form. It's absolutely incredible. I do like your call about these two rivalries. I remember the Latrell Mitchell field goal from 40 out where Cooper Cronk pretended he was going to.
Plan B, wasn't it?
It was. Am I correct in saying the Ryan Papenhuyzen game where he kicked a field goal and then he kicked another field goal? Was that against the Roosters as well?
Yep, that was COVID times because that was played at Suncorp. That was ridiculous. And there was another one played in Adelaide where in pouring rain. That was just ridiculous as well and was decided by about a field goal too. There's been some classics between these sides as well as at least one. Yeah, the grand final, 2018, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah. I mean, no matter how you cut it, these two sides were the best from the 2010s period and they have continued that into the 2020s. I'm going to take the Storm here. Only just, and that's only because I've underestimated them recently. And every time I've underestimated the Storm in the past, they've come back to remind me just how good they are. It's one of the reasons I still had them in the top four with my preseason predictions. You just cannot underestimate this team. I'm not saying the Roosters are, but certainly I have recently. I'm just not going to let myself do it again. You are right. This is the first time Munster and Hughes have partnered each other since round one. How much of a big difference is that for the Storm? I think it's a pretty big difference. We know together they're both absolutely elite, top tier of their position. And having them together, it's not like they're going to forget how to play footy together. They're well experienced. So I think that's a big inclusion there. Interesting when you look at this one from the stats lens, because the Storm have won five of their last six against the Chooks, but Chooks have won two of the last three of those in Melbourne. Of course, this game is in Melbourne. So Storm better overall form, Roosters better form in Melbourne. Doesn't really split it, does it? And I think no matter how you cut this game, it's going to be close. Almost a coin flip for me. My gut feeling says Storm. I got a value anytime try scorer there for Manu. I'm not sure what the odds are winning, but he has scored 7 out of 8 times the last time he's been fullback. Seemingly with Teddy, he'd need to have a pretty big game. I know we liked him for a same game multi earlier this year, so maybe Manu could cross there. And of course, Xavier Coates, who has 13 tries in his last 11 at Amy. You can never look past him for interest. What about this bet though, Winnie? Either side to win 1-10. I think that seems a pretty good same game multi-leg because I don't see this one being a blowout.
That is how I was actually thinking of playing it as well. And you'd probably get around $1.90 for that, either 1-10. That's a pretty solid double up. For sure. You would not be surprised at all if this one goes right down to the wire.
Absolutely. A tough one to tip. Friday, 4 p.m., special time for this one being on the Good Friday. The Bulldogs host the Rabbitohs at a Core Stadium. The line is set at -10.5 in the Bunnies' favour. The Bulldogs, they will be without Raymond Faitala Mariner, Franklin Pele, and Jaden Ockenbaugh. Though Max King and Preston have been named, they are likely to play through their injuries. Harrison Edwards, Jackson Topany, and Jaden Tanner all joined their bench. Some big changes there. For the Bunnies, more simpler changes. Alex Johnson's out, so Tane Milne returns to that wing, and Junior Totola is back with Michael Cheekam dropping out. I know you like the Bunnies. They're one of our best bets, so maybe a chance to elaborate a little bit further on that.
I will, and I'll even tell a story. Did you know I had the Bulldogs head-to-head over the Rabbitohs that year? That the Bunnies gave away or got a penalty when the Dogs dived kind of at the legs of Reynolds for that field goal attempt, the one where James Graham blew up and got sent off. And the line, I remember it was a best bet back in 2015, I think it was. Best bet, Dogs +4.5. But me, I got a bit greedy. I backed that one head to head. And the reason I bring it up, and I think I got everything else right that weekend, it cost me a big multi too, is why I remember it. But everyone brings up that game every year for Good Friday. People always remind me. And they were both kind of contenders back then, if memory serves correctly, whereas this time I just see it as such a tough spot for Canterbury, hence why I'm playing the best bet. With all these injuries this early, like you didn't mention, obviously, Kikau. He was scratched last week, so it's not like he's a new out, but he's still out. And I said in the recap, like, we haven't seen Pango Jr. Thompson was ruled out preseason. Then you mentioned Pele, Ockenbaugh, Faitala Mariner. And then you've said as well, Preston and King are forced to play with injury. Now, I know that the Rabbitohs lose Alex Johnston, so I am keen to hear who you're going to tip for an anytime try scorer because he would have been your go-to. But Totola back is huge. The Bunnies have missed. They've been crying out for more go forward in the middle. And yeah, sure, Souths were underwhelming last week. But I also thought Melbourne was really good. Sometimes it is that simple. When your opponent plays really good and is desperate, you're not going to look your best and both sides can't always win. So I would really be surprised if the Bulldogs could back up their performance from Sunday and win this one on Friday. And I know the line is heavy, but I made this mistake a week ago when I was really confident that the Panthers were going to blow out the Raiders. And I thought, oh, I won't go near a double-digit line. this time I'm not going to make the same mistake. In fact, laying 9.5 was a slam dunk for me, so that's why I like that as a best bet.
You know, you mentioned the Bulldogs being a little bit light on in the middle, and I have to agree with that. I do a bit of work with Wiki AI on my page, and I asked them for the top 10 value try scorers this week, and Junior Totola in his return game did pop up as one of their value suggestions to me. Accor Stadium's the home ground for this one, so there's no real advantage here because it's also the Bunnies' home ground. But the Bulldogs have won 4 of their last 5 here at Accor, so I guess that's a nice little stat for them. That being said, I do give the mental edge to the Bunnies. I mentioned it's Latrell Mitchell's 150th in the start of our show. And I do think he has been under a little bit of criticism recently, and not really unwarranted criticism either, because it came from literally his coach who said, I want him more involved. And as much as, you know, people do like to take shots at Latrell, I suppose, he still is an elite player. And when he does get involved, he's almost impossible to stop, right? And so it's not a question of will Latrell bounce back, it's when. And I think this is a good opportunity for him here because his forwards will win the middle. And if they don't win it at the start, they will certainly win it when the Bulldogs have to go to their bench of Harrison Edwards, Jackson Torpeny, and Jaden Tanner. There was a game earlier this year when it was the Knights game when they were at home. Yeah, and I said, I don't mind the Knights, but I just can't look at them with that bench. Your bench is too important in the modern game. Let's say this Bulldogs pack start well with the Rabbitohs. Eventually, they are going to need to interchange those inexperienced forwards in right. Jason Demetriou can plan around that and introduce Totola back into the game. Or Cameron Murray can take advantage there. There's certain opportunities that the Bunnies can take there. Once they win that middle, that's Latrell Mitchell's ticket to get involved. And so I do think with his 150th, he will get involved and have a big game. I hope I'm not wrong for a second week in a row, because I did say that last week. I will say the Doggies have shown a lot of grit and steel this year. I do like what they're bringing, but probably just not enough to tip them here. I think Junior Totola is a huge inclusion. The Bulldogs have not won this Good Friday fixture since 2017, and they've lost 9 of their last 11 against the Bunnies. Put all that together, I am going the Bunnies. Couldn't find too much in the try scorers here, Winnie, but I did see Adokar has scored 14 in his past 12 games against the Rabbitohs. But keep in mind, a lot of those were with the Melbourne Storm, right? So I probably wouldn't favour it too much there. You expecting a big one from Latrell this week?
Yeah, I get that feeling that these star players, they do hear a bit of the noise and they don't need to say anything. They can let their actions speak louder than words. So especially, as you say, if the forwards get on top, which hasn't been the case for the Bunnies the last few weeks. But I think it will be given the personnel available to both sides.
Absolutely. We'll move on to the next Friday night game. It's the Cowboys hosting the Dolphins at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. The line is set at -10.5 in the Cowboys' favour. For the Cowboys, Drinkwater returns for them. So Tom Chester moves to the bench. Heather Lukley and Jordan McLean are unavailable, but Ruben Cotter does return there, so a big inclusion. Few changes for the Dolphins as well. Milford's out, so that brings Nick Arima into the halves with Isaiah Katoa. Edric Lee returns on the wing. Bostock drops out, and Kurt Donoghue joins their bench with Mason Teague dropping out. All Queensland matchup here. Your side, Winnie. Do you like your boys here? Sorry, you've got a best bet on the Cowboys, so you don't like your boys here, but maybe a chance to speak a little bit more on the best bet.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row, I've got to go against my Finns, although it does hurt me, but you guys know where my loyalty lies to the tripod. And the fact is that the Dolphins didn't even look a shot at winning last week, really, if you watched them. And that was the first game this year, you could say that. They've been really good, but understandable given what the conditions going into last week. And we spoke about that on the recap, and hence why we had a best bet against the Dolphins and the mixed matchup as well. The Cowboys, very different, although they also lost. They looked every bit the winners up until, you'd say, the 79th minute against the Dogs. I think they'd probably be even more disappointed than the Dolphins coming out of that one, just knowing they should have closed it out. And now they do lose Lukey, McLean, but Cotter and Drinkwater are bigger boosts. And I think it's interesting comparing this line of the Cowboys hosting the Dolphins to when the Broncos hosted the Dolphins, because I've said it all year that I think the Broncos are better than the Cowboys. I think general consensus would agree with me now, and yet it's basically the same line. But I do think I understand why. There's more of a genuine home advantage for the Cowboys in this one, whereas that was really like a neutral venue. I mean, the whole Suncorp was just amped to support or to cheer for both teams and just loud. It wasn't really like a home advantage to Brisbane. I think technically they were, in fact, the away team. And also, the Dolphins have lost a couple of halves since that game. They lost O'Sullivan in that game. And as you say, lost Milford. And I mentioned before, this is already their fourth halves combination. Kind of fifth if you include having to slot Ray Stone in their mid-game against Brisbane in round four. And I really think that the Cowboys need this one. They've dropped a couple already this year that they would have expected to win. You don't want to fall too far behind after such a good year last year. You don't want to have a completely different season where you're scrambling and chasing the whole way. So kind of expecting this, the Cowboys to come out with a bit of urgency. And I just think that Drinkwater coming in and combining with Dearden, who actually has played pretty well in his absence, along with the fact that the Cowboys should defend desperately, and I don't really see where all the points are going to come from for the Finns, sees it a comfortable Cowboys win, I'm sorry to say, for the Dolphin pod, but hopefully for the tripod.
Yeah, you mentioned the five halve combos. We're only six rounds into the season. That's some bulk changes for the Dolphins. And, you know, your halves are really the crux of everything you do. I'm leaning with the Cowboys here as well. I am interested to see how the Dolphins bounce back for the exact reason you said. This is the first time in their club history where really they have to bounce back. They've come off a disappointing week. And it's the hardest time for them to do it as well because this is the weakest 17 they've put up all year due to injuries and suspensions at the moment. Here was the Drinkwater stat that I referenced at the start, Winnie. I think you're going to love this one. So the Cowboys have averaged 30 points in their last five home games where he's played. They're not averaging 30 this year, but you think with him back, that's going to be very, very key to their attack. And not only that, they get Tom Chester on the bench, which is great X factor as well. So I do think the points can flow for the Cowboys in this game. Certainly if it could flow for the Dragons, and we could see the Cowboys do something pretty similar there. Of course, for the Dolphins, I have to have question marks over their halves, in particular Cody Nikurima. He's lost his last six games at 5'8 in a row, and the last time he played there was round one, 2022, so over a year ago, and it's not like he had the form prior to this either. Cowboys have won five of their past seven at home, so I certainly agree with you in regards to it being a genuine home ground advantage for them. I do like a little bit of a potential same game multi here. I know you'll have a real same game multi for us, but one that I want to offer sort of unofficially on the pod would be the Hammer and Scott Drinkwater to score, both fullbacks. Now the Hammer has six tries in his last five and Drinkwater has seven in his last 10. Why I like this, Winnie, is I like the storyline behind this. The last time these two were teammates, they were both playing for that same jersey, the number one Cowboys jersey, the one made famous by Matty Bowen. Now, Hammer beat him to it. Drinkwater was in reserve grade, way too good for reserve grade. He fights his way back and wins that jersey, but only because Hammer got injured. If Hammer didn't get injured, who knows where Drinkwater would be right now? Would he be the one at the Dolphins? So these two have history, not in like a negative, you know, confrontational way, but they have history of competitiveness in a positive way where they both were putting their best foot forward. And I do wonder, with both men so important to their side, if they could both cross over for a try. Certainly the stats are in their favor as well. But Winnie, you will have a better same game multi for this. You'll be cooking it up tomorrow and we will be uploading that on the Tripod and Clarkie's Rugby League column pages. But we do have a responsibility here to promote responsible gambling, and we do take it very seriously as well, guys. So what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. The number is on the screen that you can see right now.
Yes, that's right. So Friday, I'll cook this one. So it'll be Cowboys-centric, another value way to get at them. Can I say something controversial about your comparison with Tabuai Fidoh and Drinkwater? No, I'm happy with that. Okay, people will say this is blasphemy, but I'm just going to put it out there. I'll just pose a question and we'll move on. What if the Cowboys never signed Chad Townsend and they went with a core halfback of Dearden, 5'8" of Drinkwater, fullback of the Hammer? Would they be in a better position?
There's so many questions based on that one there. But yes, Saturday, the Panthers host Manly at 5 p.m. It's at BlueBet Stadium. The line is set at
10.5. No, sorry. We've got plus 11.5, but consensus is 9.5, which goes to show why you want to shop around. So obviously, yes. Panthers favorite at home.
So we've got minus 9.5 there in the Panthers' favour. They will be without James Fisher-Harris, so Matt Eisenhuth starts. Sonny Luke is back. He's at 14 with Tyrone Peachy out. For the Manly Seagulls, Jason Saab's back for his first game post-ACL. He replaces Christian Tuipulotu. Josh Schuster is in. Cooper Johns is out. Ben Trbojevic is also out. And Carl Lawton is in. We've got a best bet on Manly here, Winnie. So with that, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, you've got to be brave to go against Penrith, especially in Penrith. And they were back to their ruthless best last week in a hostile environment, albeit the Raiders are just not very good. And we've been kind of saying that for a few weeks. And now you lose Fisher-Harris. I know Sonny Luke is a big boost on the Penrith bench for sure. But likewise, Schuster, I think, can spark Manly's attack. And I think you need that skill, that unpredictability and that X factor to score points against Penrith. Because while we've all documented Penrith's struggles, and they lost to the Eels, they lost to Brisbane, and you go back and say they lost to St. Helens, one thing that's actually been consistent is the Panthers' defense. They've brought that kind of premiership level or near to level of defense in 2023. It's just the points haven't always been there until last week. But having said that, this is a pretty decent line, and I think that Manly, who are basically at full strength right now, if they can come in like fired up and focused, and you're going to be going into the back-to-back Premier's house, I think if they can cut down those defensive lapses, which cost them dearly against Newcastle, and also played a big part in conceding 30 to Parra when at times they really had control of that game, they've actually been really impressive this year. And again, I mentioned, like, this is not a full-strength Penrith. Like, when they lost in round one and lost the club challenge, everyone's like, oh, they've lost Kikau, they've lost Coruscant. But then they won a couple games. Now no one's talking about losing them. But now you throw in Liam Martin, you throw in Fisher-Harris. Like, that's quite a few rep forwards, you know, that aren't there from, say, the grand final winning team last year. Whereas I mentioned the Seagulls are full strength and, you know, they've recruited well guys like Tuilagi. So that's the way I'm looking. I'm actually willing to take the points. And mind you, on Dabble, plus 11.5. And that is key to, you know, if they lose by 10, we'd have a winner there.
I'm going to touch on where you said defensive lapses there for Manly, because I feel like sometimes that can be a throwaway line, but I've got a stat here that genuinely shows you're 100% correct. So they have missed, on average, the least amount of tackles of any side this year at 16. So they are defending the best. But as you said, it is genuinely these defensive lapses where they're not missing many tackles, but when they are, it's just a mental lapse there. It's just switching off for one slight second, and that's what's costing them. And dare I say, Winnie, although that stat says 16 per game, I reckon a lot of those would have been last week in the Knights game where they let 32 points in. Prior to that, it would have been absolutely exceptional numbers there.
They missed Dom Young about 16 times on his own.
On his own. Absolutely, they did. I am going to go the Panthers here based off their effort last round. But yeah, that line does make it interesting, doesn't it? Although I'm going to tip them, probably don't. Yeah, I think I'm with your best bet here. I don't know if they could cover that line because, as I say, Manly have not played a bad game this year. They just haven't. They haven't been at their best, but they have not played bad yet. And so I look at when James Fisher-Harris went out against the Raiders. At that stage, they'd already won the middle. And if people don't think they'd already won the middle, then certainly they'd have to agree that they were well on their way to winning the middle. But without James Fisher-Harris from the start of the game, they're going to need to do that, you know, from the start of the whole 80 minutes. So whether they can do that or not against a prime Manly pack is going to be very interesting. The stats do look favorably upon the Manly Seagulls here. The fact that, as I said, they missed the least amount of tackles of anyone in the NRL, and they're also averaging the third least amount of errors. So they can put it together like that. The stats do say they're right in this contest and could be up for an upset here. I do wonder, for the Panthers, and I didn't really know how to phrase this when I was taking my notes, but if it doesn't happen for them, I put that in quotations, because last week against the Raiders, it just happened, right? Everything was just clicking and going well, and everything was just, the machine was well ticking over. But in every other game this year, it has not been that way. They haven't quite been able to get the machine ticking over, and that's what's caused them to get frustrated and their attack look nowhere near as clean as it looked against the Raiders. So I do wonder if it doesn't, horrible way to explain, I'm sorry guys, quote unquote, happen for the Panthers in this one, do they start to get a little bit frustrated? Ultimately though, the Panthers have won their last six straight against Manly, and Manly have not won at Blue Bet since 2018. But I'm not sure what the margin was in between those. So you give Manly, was it 11.5-point head start? Certainly that is in our favour. And as for try scorers, again, Winnie, I couldn't really find too much here. But Brian To'o, he scored 3 tries in his last 3 against Manly. And I believe he'll be on Jason Saab's wing, first game back from an ACL. Maybe a chance there to get him while he's a little bit, you know, just trying to still blow out the mental cobwebs, I suppose. Anything else on this one before we move on?
Well, likewise, there's a matchup advantage there with a high ball if Cherry Evans wants to test out To'o, just simply with the length of Saab, right. There could be an inroad there. Certainly, Manly have been kind of flat-track bullies, so they need to come out and prove that they can compete with the competition elite. Question there from Kartik, whether they can win. If I tip a team as a best bet, you know, plus a start, I usually do give them a chance. So I give Manly a chance to win this one for sure. They're the kind of team that when they get on a roll, you know, with Turbo, he can be the best player on the field. And, you know, obviously Cleary's been the best player on the field every game so far for Penrith, but like Turbo can do that. Manly are the kind of side that can kind of catch a little bit of lightning in a bottle. And that's going to feed into our best bet as well. Sorry, our mixed matchup as well, which I'll put on the screen now. You already heard that I like the Rabbitohs over the Bulldogs. So we're simply taking the Rabbitohs at 220 to score more points than the Panthers, because I think Manly will keep it closer with Penrith than the Dogs will keep it with the Rabbitohs. You can have up to 200 with that on Toppy. Our code is TP Live. Sorry, it disappeared off the screen, but I will just bring back this important message. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit gamblinghelponline.org.
Mate, I love that mixed matchup. One comment I love as well is Matthew Blanchard's on Facebook. If you can bring that one up on the screen, please. That is an absolute beauty. Thinking of things that just happened. That's a good one there from Matty. I like that a lot. Saturday, game 2. It's the Broncos hosting the Raiders at Suncorp Stadium. The line is set in favor of the Broncos at -14.5. No changes to their 17. For the Raiders, Jared Croker returns back to the NRL. Harley Smith Shields is out. And Brad Schneider comes in for Matt Frawley, who broke his hand. Market seems to think this one will be a little bit of a blowout, Winnie. You think the Broncos will run away with this one as well?
They very well could. We've been on Brisbane. Well, we were on in the first 3 weeks and then stayed away the last 2 games, and they went 1-1 in those. They actually didn't cover against the Dolphins, and they did cover well against the Tigers last week, and that was a massive line. Although that line last week wasn't that much bigger than the one here, which says a lot about the Canberra Raiders. And you know what? I feel like there was only really one good week this year to back Canberra, which I missed the opportunity, but that was round 3 when they were 0-2 and they were at home playing the Sharks and there was no Nico. And in fact, that's the only game the Raiders have won this year. Now, you can give the Raiders a bit of credit and say they were unfortunate in their first 2 games in Queensland, up in Townsville, if you recall, and even against the Dolphins, they had opportunities. But the last fortnight, they've been extremely disappointing. And that has coincided a bit with the game where Whiten got his suspension, got sent for 10, and then obviously serving the suspension last week, which he still is. If you are someone out there who believes in Canberra, which is not really me, I didn't have them in the top 8, but if you believe in Canberra, you might be looking for a response here, and you might be thinking, the Green Machine's getting 14.5. Well, the Tigers were getting 15.5 in this same stadium a week ago in some places, 16.5 in others. This would be the week to take the Raiders, right? But I just feel like they could be a lot better than last week. They were that bad last week. Even if the Raiders play well here, the Broncos are dead set white hot. I do not want to get out in front of Brisbane. And I know how the Raiders want to win games and how they can win. And that's through the front door and the forward pack getting on top, generating momentum. You don't do that against Brisbane. I feel like Brisbane's strength kind of mitigates what the Raiders are going to try to do. And I certainly know the Raiders can't play around Brisbane either. So it would have to be the home side or nothing. Because where are the points coming from, Clarkey? You've got Fogarty and Schneider in the halves, Chris at fullback, Wolford at 9. And I know everyone's been praising Brisbane and how great they've been, and I feel like a lot of the talk has been about attack. But once again, Brisbane has been really strong defensively, and that's laid the platform for them to then put on points at the other end.
Mate, I will say Fed Income. As you said, the Raiders are going to go through the front door. I was literally taking that note. We were literally thinking of the exact same thing there. That is awesome. But I certainly agree with that. Look, I think the only way Brisbane lose this is if they beat themselves. And even then, it's going to be so rare that they monumentally stuff it up that badly. What comes up must always come down in footy, but I do think the Broncos are going to ride this way for a little bit longer. Interesting thing here for the Broncos, Winnie. They're at Suncorp for the fifth consecutive week. Now, this is a little bit off topic, so I'll get through it quickly, but the Warriors did not train today. 12 of their 17 did not train because they've done 30 hours travel in recent weeks. The Broncos have probably done about five when you consider they've been in Brisbane the whole time, which is a huge advantage for them. They're 5-0. I think that speaks for itself, right? The line says this will be a blowout. I think it will be as well. 15's like probably a little bit higher than what I'd like to take. Even if that was down at 12.5, I'd be really keen, I think. But it's just that extra, not only, potentially an extra penalty goal, but then another point has to come somewhere as well to cover that next half. If I had to say yes or no, I would take the Broncos if I had to play the line here 100%. But yeah, just the fact that they have not traveled, they've won their last six straight at Suncorp. The Raiders have only won two of their past 12 at Suncorp.
Brisbane has won their last six at Suncorp?
Yes. They've won their last six, and that includes one last year as well. So they've been there the last 5 weeks.
I feel like
weeks.
They were falling apart last year. Didn't they get pumped by Para? But maybe they've played so many times at home since then. Or
no,
I don't know if it counts preseason.
No, it doesn't count preseason, those stats. That one from the NRL website. So they would have played one game last year, won that, and then they would have won their first five there this week.
Okay.
This year.
Well, someone can fact check. I don't even remember the game that they won last year because you know how they had that horrendous finish. But someone can fact check anyway. You got any more on this one?
Okay, let me second guess it. Hey, I'm just going to say that one's from the NRL website. David Middleton, take your shots at him, not me. No, I'm only kidding, guys. Raiders are leaking points at the moment, Winnie, so I don't mind Selwyn Cobbo or Staggs for any time tries. Staggs has six tries in his last four games, and Cobbo has 13 in his past 14 at Suncorp. It's a happy ground or hunting ground for them. Sunday, game one, the Titans host the Dragons. It's at CBus Super Stadium. The line is in favor of the Titans. It is -1.5. For the Titans, Jaden Campbell is in. AJ Brimson is out. Toby Sexton is in. Kieran Foran's out. And Cleese Haas joins the bench. No changes for the Dragons. What do you got here, Winnie? You going to make my birthday or crush my birthday for me? What do you got?
Hey, well, I might have you on a technicality as people are saying, Shuey, is that another mistake by you, that bogus stat you gave? Because last time Brisbane played in 2022 was at home to Parramatta where they lost 52-6 or 53-6 it might have been. So that's where I couldn't quite understand how they could have won six straight at home unless they count preseason or whatever. But obviously they look pretty good this year. Moving on to another Queensland team who is at home and hasn't looked quite as good. I will lean to your boys in this one, Clarkey, because they are at home. I do think they've got the slight forward pack edge, although I'm not sure when you start to look at the bench, that probably levels out. The Dragons are probably an underrated side and why we've been able to back them a couple of times for best bets and had really strong wins. You lose Brimson, but I think Campbell's up there with best backup fullback in the competition and brings an X factor that they will need. And they're off the bye, right? Which I think, I know you've made this comment that we haven't had much data on the bye. Of course, we've had decades of data that shows that teams do well after the bye, but probably fair to say we don't know how beneficial it is early season because for what you gain resting up, you're losing kind of that building up that match fitness and stuff. But we've seen teams have done pretty well off an early season bye so far this year. And then revenge, when you get two evenly matched teams and they've already played, and this is, I think, the first rematch of 2023 in this young season, I think that counts for something, that the Titans saw what the Dragons did to exploit them and saw that they had the lead in that game by double digits and blew it and will come out extra focused. However, when I look at the squads, I actually think St. George has had more continuity of less injuries and keeping their squad together and overall is arguably a stronger list right now with the Titans' injuries. And I don't think they'll let up just because they won last week either. I think they'll want to carry that in. So I dead set could see this game going either direction, hence no bet.
Yeah, this is one where my head's saying one thing, my heart's saying the other. Look, you've got me, Winnie. The Broncos have won their past six games against the Raiders at Suncorp, not outright.
I thought it could have been that. That's all right.
What makes this even worse is while we're live, I've scheduled that information on the page, so I can't delete that either. So there'll be some interesting comments when I finish here. Yeah, difficult one to tip here, given it's my side and the Dragons have beat us already this year. So it's kind of hard for me to sit here and, you know, confidently say we're going to win. That being said, I am going to do that. I am going to say the Titans are going to win. But the Dragons did look much improved last week. And realistically, all jokes aside, they should be able to build on that and, you know, find a bit of momentum if they ever are to. Because last week was the best they've looked in a while. How much of that was the Dolphins being down as opposed to the Dragons being up? I suppose we'll have a good indication this week with how the Dolphins look against the Cowboys, because they do play prior to this game. Titans without Foran and AJ are a completely different side. We saw that against the Cowboys. Now, not fair to make the comparison mid-game as opposed to a scheduled team list, but certainly in that first 20, I won't hear it if anyone says anything other than the Titans were looking fantastic. We were the better side than the Cowboys. We were looking great. As soon as those two went down, we looked a completely different side. And I know it's only a 20-minute snapshot of an 80-minute game, but that's all the data I've really got. And I can say the Titans look very, very different with those two out of their lineup. I can only hope, Winnie, that the bye does play into our favor and that spurs us to victory. And the Dragons have lost their last three against us at Cbus Super Stadium. As for some try scorers here, I'm going to go my team first. Alofeanu Kanpereira. Seems like he's finding his own in first grade recently, and he's got five tries in his past three. And Benny Hunt. Anytime the Dragons do well, he has to score. He has to set up tries. We saw it last week. We saw it when they beat the Titans in round one or two. I think it was round two. That's right. I was there in the stands crying post-game. But he's got eight tries in his past 10. So some try scorers there to potentially consider winning. You like either?
Well, that game has a lot of points written all over it based on how these sides have defended. I'll say that. And that Pereira, he is dynamite.
Mate, I agree. I wish I could agree with everything BKR's putting in the chat right now. A staunch Titans fan, probably the only bigger Titans fan than myself. But Sunday game two is the Knights versus the Warriors. It's a McDonald Jones Stadium. The line is set at a pick'em. There was no line on Toppy. So it's completely a pick'em here, guys. For the Knights, Crossland is in because Tyson Gamble's out. Kurt Mann returns to their bench. For the Warriors, they welcome back Tamari Martin, Dallin Watene-Zalesniak and Tohu Harris, and Bailey Siren replaces the injured Murata, or the suspended, sorry, Murata Niokore. Game says a pick and Winnie. Who you got?
And Blanchy comments that the NRL pays $2 million to an American company to set up the draw. If that's true, can we get a gig, you reckon, Clarkey? I reckon we could come up with a pretty sweet NRL
draw. Hey, we've already fixed the World Cup draw. Let's fix the NRL's
that's
next
true.
Round.
That's true. I stand by that one. And this is another rematch already that we've seen. So when teams play each other, I'm always thinking what happened last, you know, and how will it be different? And it was a good battle. And in fact, you could look at all the games that New Zealand and Newcastle have played this year, and they've really been competitive in each and every one. It was a tight one, and New Zealand were just the tougher side, and they were the deserving winner at Mount Smart. But now we go to McDonald Jones, and I feel like Newcastle do get a boost from, you know, pulling that draw last week, although it could have been even better if they won. But another big boost, I saw Kalen Ponga back at training, right, Clarkey? Did you post about that one? So I just feel like knowing that he's back for the season and knowing what they've accomplished so far gives genuine belief and energy among the team. And then Mann is back on the field. Of course, Tamari Martin and Tohu Harris are huge ins for New Zealand, while they will miss Niokore. But as I say, I really think there is a strong home advantage here for Newcastle, although the home record's been terrible in the last couple of years. They did get the upset victory last time they played at home against the Raiders. And I just think the crowd can sense that this Knights team has a soul. I mean, Dan Lever, who's one of the legends of the pod, he's a long-suffering Knights fan. I've actually seen him proud to call himself a Knights fan again this year. So you can really sense the buzz in the Hunter. And I think that, along with home advantage and energy and the toughness of this Knights side, it's a real thing. that, and you mentioned the travel of the Warriors. I think on paper, New Zealand looks a little better, has played a little better this year. But I think that those other factors can counteract and create dead set a coin flip game, which I'll be hoping the Knights win because it has big implications for some of my preseason tips, like Knights most improved. I think everyone would say right now the most improved side of the year is the Warriors. But if the Knights win this and then Kalen Ponga's on the horizon, they might change their opinion again. So it's a dead even game for me. I'll be certainly cheering red and blue.
Before I get to my prediction, I'm going to give a shout out to Jeff because he epitomizes the Aussie spirit. His profile picture is a well-tailored suit and he's calling for shoes. It just epitomizes the Aussie culture to me and I love it. I'm going to tip the Warriors here, but I am expecting a close game. I will say the Knights surprised me last round. And one thing you can say about both these sides is they've shown some real grit in their performances this year. There has been a layer of effort to almost everything they do. Regardless of who wins here, I think this will be a 1-12 game, Winnie. I can't really see either side here really causing too much of a blowout. And I sort of go back to that Melbourne Roosters game to start. I'm not fully confident on who will win, but I'm more confident it'll be a close game. And so again, I would say maybe consider the either side 1-10 here. That way, you know, you're playing both sides. And if you think it's going to be a tight contest, I certainly think it is as well. The stats say the Knights have won 4 of their last 5 against the Warriors. But the Warriors have already beat them this year, Winnie. And that was in round 1. What's interesting about that is the Warriors haven't beaten the Knights in the same season twice since 2016. So they'll be breaking a 7-year sort of dud record if they can't get it over them here.
And that would have been a wooden spoon year too.
It would, yeah, all for the Knights, definitely.
Yeah,
that was a very unfortunate time for the club. We always talk about the McDonald. Well, oh, sorry, I always talk about the McDonald Jones stat. Knights are still 2 from their last 13. There, one of those wins I travelled to, and the other was recently. Who was it again? I can't remember who, but they did get the win over someone at home a round or two ago.
Beating the Raiders.
Yeah. The Raiders. There you go. So that's their only 2 wins there, though, Winnie, in the last 13 times. So the Knights really do have a long way to go to build back up that home base reputation here. And so 2 sides that give it all, 2 sides that show effort. I don't know. I like Warriors, but I don't know for sure. I just think this will be a tight contest. That's my ultimate tip for this one. Should we move to Monday? It's a bit of a special week, I suppose, with Easter Monday. It's the Eels up against the Tigers at Accor Stadium. The line is set at -12.5 in the Eels' favour. For the Tigers, there's some big changes. Charlie Staines is their new fullback. Adam Dwayhe moves back to 5'8". Brandon Wakeham's dropped. Naden moves to centre. Kiapoa moves to the wing. Offa Hengawi is back. Matamua drops out. For the Eels, Sean Lane returns. Hopgood benched. Hayes Dunster's back. Simonson's out. Sean Russell in. Wonga Blake out. I want to hear what you got to say, Winnie. But save the team list for me because I want to have my say on these changes. There's some crazy changes this week.
Just the way that you said Hopgood bench. So Madison's the starting lock, I presume. I'm not looking at it right now. He must be. But you can talk about the team list. Look, the Tigers need a win so badly. They're copping criticism from all angles and a lot of it they're bringing on themselves. And everyone is going to remember that Easter Monday game and point to the fact that they upset the Eels when no one saw it coming and the line was about 6 points higher than this. So a dead set 18.5 point favourites. Hastings kicked the field goal. It was a spirited effort by Wes. And I mean, how bizarre that Wes went on to win the wooden spoon, if you can say win. Parramatta went on to the grand final. But on that given Monday, the Tigers were the better team. I think that is bad news for Wes this year, because there's no way they're going to ambush the Eels this week, especially when Parra is already one from 5. I had written 1-5. They're 1 from 5. And you don't get, like, sometimes you get a massive upset just because the big favorite underestimates the opponent, takes them lightly. There's no way a 1-4 Parra that lost the corresponding fixture is going to come in anything but playing with their hair on fire in this one. I know still no Barlow, but they were, look, they're coming in such big drop in grade after playing the Roosters last week. So if you've got any doubts about Parra and getting a nice long turnaround into this one, they're going to be primed for it. And I really think that they'll be hard to beat. I'd be shocked if the Tigers could get this win. We spoke a week ago about how we can't see a potential win for West until about round 10, whether or not they beat the bye. I don't want to steal their own coach's joke there, but I think it says a lot about where they're at. If you want a positive for West, though, I think this is real. I didn't have the exact numbers in front of me, so I'd like to hear what you think, Clarkie, and what others say. But I feel like every single second half, as bad as the Tigers have been, every single second half, they've done pretty well, partly because they've been forced to chase the game. I feel like they were already down big in round one against the Titans. So I don't know if they actually lost the second half to you. Can't remember that one. They were down against the Knights. They did cut it to two, albeit it was the final play. So I think they won the second half in that one. Last week, they were big underdogs. They only lost the second half by six. That Bulldogs game, I hate to say it, they had that crazy three-minute spell in the second half, so they did win the second half there. And even the Storm game, they didn't concede a second-half try. So, like, that's something to cling on to. Maybe if they start well, they can get a good result for 80. What do you think?
Mate, I like it. I'm going to steal that idea and make that a post for Monday morning to get people talking about that game. What is the West Tigers second-half score versus their opposition? I think that would be an interesting stat to look at. I remember this game last year with heartbreak because it was the final game of the round and my last leg of my multi was Eels to win. And there was the game against the Bulldogs they dropped as well that season, which was also the last game of the round.
Everybody had, I think maybe all the favourites got up that week, and every man and his dog had the Eels to win a multi that week when they played the Dogs. And then they were down 30-0 after an hour. Mm-hmm. That's happened twice, and they were both Monday public holidays where they got upset as huge favourites.
So the Eels do have history of letting people down, which is scary to tip them in this one. But you're right, Ryan Madison is their lock. I'm going to go back to the team list, guys. Stay with me for one moment. First note I've got, Laurie is a better fullback than Staines. I can't hear any other argument otherwise. I'm sorry. I just can't.
What Dane Laurie going... just liked that. He just liked our video. I heard you say that.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Why was Wakeham dropped after one game, though, Winnie? I mean, Luke Brooks, presumably, given he hasn't played finals since he debuted in 2013, has played more than one game in a row and not been dropped. A little bit stiff on Brandon Wakeham, surely.
Need a scapegoat?
Poor dude. Why is Asu Kiapoa on the wing? All preseason he trained at back row. Then he moved to the centers last round. And now they've just slowly moved him back out to the wing after he's spent the whole preseason bulking up and playing in the forwards. Strange. For the Eels, I don't quite get Hopgood off the bench. He's not an impact player. He's a workhorse. You need him out there for 80 to get through the hard yakka so that when your impact players like Ryan Madison come off the bench, everyone's a little bit more fatigued. There's less work to be done because Hopgood's already done it. And they're able to inject into that game and bring that spark. Ryan Madison does that well. It's what earned him a Blues jersey last year, right? Sean Russell in. Interesting. News Corp reported 3 weeks ago he has had a shoulder surgery and he's out for the year. So I'm not sure what happened there. Maybe he was able to avoid surgery, but you'd think it's probably not quite 100% yet. I don't know. There's just some really, really strange team list changes there. Anything further before we get onto the preview of the game?
No, for me, it is curious. I presume that Hopgood will come on and play lock and then Madison will shift to an edge. So there might be a thinking there that Madison's the bigger body and can start the game in the middle. I can't explain really any of the Tigers changes for you. Definitely not that smart as the Sheenius.
Oh, hey, don't say that in front of their chairman or he'll come after you and sue you. But onto the game here, I am tipping the Eels. I think everyone's tipping the Eels, right? They did lose this game last year by 1 point, but I actually view that as a positive for them. I mean, I know that's a crazy thing to say because they lost, but what I think is they won't slack off this year and they won't be caught with their pants down like they were last year. They're going to prepare and make sure that does not happen again. The facts are the Eels are one win this year, but they're only losing these games by like 4 points to the Sharks, Roosters, and someone else, Storm, and they all came off byes. The Tigers aren't coming off a bye. They're coming off 0-5. So although the Eels don't have the wins on the board, they're in a much better position than their latter spot would suggest, and I do think they've got more than enough here to win and probably cover that line, if I'm absolutely honest. I just can't see how the Tigers win here. I look at their lineup. I look at their recent form. I look at the stats. I really can't find too much there. Sorry, Tigers fans. They have lost their last 7 straight at a core stadium, and they've lost 8 of their last 9 against the Eels, the only win being that 1-point field goal there. If they do lose, this would be really unfortunate, Winnie, with the improvements they made to their roster and signings. It would actually be the first time in their club history they started a season 0-6. Same position last year, if you remember. They were 0-5, but they won this game. So they avoided that record. If they do lose on Monday, it will officially be the worst start to a season in West Tigers history, which is just not what the club needs at all. I couldn't find any interesting stats around the anytime try scorers here, Winnie, but I'm going to go Gutho. I'm going to go Gutho based off the recent talk they need an X-Factor player. I think he's going to be in this contest for 80 minutes. I think the Eels will have the opportunity to score quite a few points. And because Gutho's in and amongst everything they do, I see him scoring sort of a scrappy try at some stage off a grubber, a rebound, an offload. Someone gets a break, Gutho pops up beside him. Because he gets through that hard yakka, I can see him getting rewarded at some stage in this game. Your thoughts on a Gutho anytime try?
Yeah, what I love about him is he doesn't necessarily create it out of nothing himself, although he did score one kind of like that against Manly. But yeah, his support, he's always there where he can chase a kick or an inside ball or someone makes a line break, he can be the one that finishes it. So you're not going Alex Twoll anytime necessarily in this one. Another point I wanted to make was the Tigers are now $1.80 for the wooden spoon. You could have got $13 about them in our preseason preview because Toppy were high on the Tigers, so gave enhanced or aggressive odds, I should say, on the spoon for the Tigers, back-to-back spoon, because no one was picking them for that. But $13 you could have had in your pocket, which would be pretty juicy. And talking about teams off the bye, like, I think it's worth just reinforcing, like, this is almost a half bye for the Eels when you consider their last game was a Thursday and they don't play again till this Monday. Yeah, there's just no, there's no scenario where they don't come in completely dialed in and fired up.
Yeah, it's just not looking good for the Tigers in this one. Wow, $13 into $1.80 after 5 rounds. That is one of the quickest shifts I think I've ever seen in an NRL market. Would you agree with that? That's a pretty quick shift.
It's a fall from grace, that's for sure. And another point I wanted to make, because this game is on Monday, that is when we will do our live recap as well, within about 10 minutes of the finish of that one.
Absolutely, guys. And that pretty much brings us to the end of the show. That's all we've really got for you guys in terms of the preview. If you want general footy content and coverage throughout the weekend, guys, I've got that on Clarkie's Rugby League column. And if you want to get involved in some betting and some banter, that's on the Tripod group on Facebook. Apart from that, guys, just to reiterate what Winnie said, we will be here after this game on Monday, special time because of the Easter Monday. So we hope everyone has a safe and happy Easter. We hope you enjoyed this show, and we're certainly looking forward to having your company on the Monday after the footy wraps up. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, guys, and happy birthday, Clarkie.